I'll be honest, I had to resist as I read this first scripture, cracking a joke about height and scripture. But, okay. Who's the second shortest guy in the Bible? Nehemiah? Who's the shortest? Bildad the Shuhite? Bildad the Shuhite. Seminary humor. Our first scripture comes from the book of Nehemiah. Hear the word of the Lord. All the people gathered together into the square before the water gate. They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all could hear with understanding. This was on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it facing the square before the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, and all the people stood up, then Ezra blessed the Lord, the God, great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. Then they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to your Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And our second scripture from the book of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 31. This is a bit long, so bear with me. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a more excellent way. This is the good news, the word of God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we have heard your word. We ask that it would guide us and lead us. Show us the path that you have chosen for us, both individually but as your church. Help us to see how we can best serve you in the days to come through your word. Bless the meditations of our minds and hearts this day. Amen. Bear with me. The more and more I read this passage, I get reminded of something. Now, as we get to know one another, you'll learn that when I relay things into my memory, I tend to use food. I can't tell you what year I went on a particular vacation, but I can tell you what I had to eat. I can tell you that this past year at Gettysburg, we had the best Brussels sprouts I've ever had, and that's, well, okay. That's not setting the bar too high, but the bar is now set very high. Sometimes, though, they're tied to other moments. This particular passage, though, is tied to a movie. How many of you have seen the movie Shrek? If you haven't, go ahead, see it. It's pretty good. Now, there's one particular moment that I always think of when I read this. Now, Shrek and his sidekick, Donkey, are walking out of a field. And Shrek is comparing ogres to onions. And he says, ogres are like onions. And Donkey asks, they stink? Which Shrek, of course, corrects and says, yes, well, no. And then Donkey responds, they make you cry? No. You leave them into the sun? They get all brown and start sprouting little white hairs. Finally, Shrek says, no, lairs, Donkey, lairs. Ogres have lairs. And then it launches into a soliloquy about parfaits and how parfaits are just awesome. And how many people have ever said, no, I don't want a parfait? The fact is, this passage has several layers to navigate, several points in which we can divert ourselves before we get to that core piece. And luckily, none of us has to be an anatomy professor to figure this out. At its simplest point, Paul talks of the image of the body of Christ. We, as the body of Christ. Think about any time in which you've injured or hurt your body. Perhaps you touched a hot pan, got a sliver, whatever type of injury you've had. When you reacted, others knew about it. Maybe you said some choice words. Maybe if it was the hot pan, you stuck your finger in your mouth or rushed over to the sink and ran cold water. But you express yourself when you hurt your body in such a way that others know. You don't just say, oh, I stubbed my toe. If you do, maybe see a doctor. You don't say, I have pain. You don't. It's a very different thing when you hurt. When you hurt your body. And so the first piece in the body of Christ is to know that we are a system together. When one of us hurts, we should all know that hurt exists. When one thing happens to the body, there's a nervous system to it that tells you what's going on. If you stub your toe, you should know that your toe is stubbed. So we are not individuals, but a community, a body. So if one of us is experiencing joy or sorrow as a part of the body of Christ, we need to experience in shared action together. But not only are we a connected piece of the body, we are the body of Christ, which means not only do we as a group feel each other's pain, not only do we as a group feel each other's joy, but Christ feels them as well with us. Christ knows our pain. Christ knows our joy. And so we have communion with Christ in that pain, in that joy. We do not bear our life alone. We do not walk it on our own. I know that for many of us, this is not earth-shattering news. But it is perhaps one of the most beautiful things that we can ever acknowledge, that life is not an isolated piece. We share it with God. We share it with one another. When we suffer together. When we have joy together. We bear our pain, not alone, but with others. But think a little more about whose body we are. Not only does that mean we have a connectedness with Christ, but it also means that when we act, when we go into the world, we are acting as part of the body of Christ. When we move for Christ. When we are in the world, we are Christ's hands in the world doing His work. If we are Christ's feet, then we do Christ's errands in this world. Whatever we do as Christians, one thing should be our goal, and that is to bring glory to God through Christ. We are His ambassadors. Every time we meet someone, we are representing Christ in this world. Now think about that. When you're in line at the grocery store and the person in front of you has 18 different coupons and is paying with 5 different types of payment, including loose change, you are an ambassador for Christ. Are you a very good one? When the person cuts you off on the road, are you the best ambassador for Christ? No, they can't hear you unless you have your windows down in there. But when they cut you off, are you a good ambassador for Christ? When you have a conversation about your neighbor or to one neighbor about another, are you being an ambassador for Christ? Here's the thing. You might not think you are, but the world thinks you are. And what does that shape for their view of Christ and of God? What does that do for Christ in this world when we forget that we are always ambassadors for God. Call it unfair, but that's the reality of our life. But then we get to the meat and potatoes, and or in my case, just meat. I've never been a huge potato fan. But this meat and potato comes in three parts. We need each other. The fingers need the toes. The feet need the eyes. Every part of the body needs every other part. There is not an unnecessary part of the body. Sure, as we get older, the easy way to say is, well, I don't get around like I used to. I'm not able to do what I used to. So I'm just going to sit. Well, God can still use you, even if you're 90, even if you're 80, even if you have arthritis. God can still use you. Think about it. As we get older, and I realize many of you looks at me saying, kid, that's fair. But as I get older and certain aspects of my body start to fall apart, particularly my left knee, I'm reminded of how important it is that we work together, because as the left knee goes, the right knee works harder. And if one of us starts to diminish our role in the body of Christ, it causes others to work ever more harder within the body to function. Each one of us is a functioning part of the body, and each one of us is called to work and function as that. Now, Paul also points to the body looking at other parts. The toe looks at the eye. The eye looks at the toe. And the mind, the head looks at the arm and says, I don't need you. We can't do that. We cannot look at another part of the body of Christ as dispensable. We cannot look at one another and say, I don't need you, because we all need each other to function as a body. We need to respond to the foot and remind the foot that it is still an important part. We need to remind the arm that it is still an important part. We need to remember that whatever we are in the body of Christ, we are no more important than another part, and we are no better than the others. All of us also need to be happy with who we are within the body. One of the hardest parts in the times I've spent in coaching baseball is everybody wants to be a pitcher, right? You get 10 kids on the team and everybody wants to throw the ball. That's great. But who's going to play first base? Who's going to play catcher? Who's going to catch the ball? If you have 10 people all standing on the pitching mound, and I realize if you've ever been to a 4- and 5-year-old baseball game, this is actually what happens. There's a certain lack of functionality when everyone is the same. We all must understand that each one of us has a role to play, and that is who we are within the body. And instead of wanting to be something that we are not, we should embrace what we are and do it to the best of our ability. We need to respect the other parts. Show the other parts that they too are indispensable as we are. But finally, and then I think this is always the hardest for us to understand, we are who we are within the body, and every one of us has a plan for us. God has a plan for every one of us within the body. Think about it. You know how your fingers work. If you don't, well, it's not going to work out too well for you. You know how your feet work. You know how things function, and there is a plan for how you are to be. God has chosen you to be who you are. God has called you to use who you are for the greater glory of the kingdom. Our gifts might not be what others are. Trust me, I wish I could sing. I can't. I can't even play guitar. But that doesn't mean I don't have other gifts. If you can do one thing, it doesn't mean you should do everything. But it does mean you should use that for God's glory. The problem with the great beauty of this passage is not what it tells us. It's that we need to put it into action. We are humans. We are flawed humans. We try and try and try to do what we know is right, to live as we should, and yet we fall short. We try and serve as the body of Christ. We try and be the body of Christ. And it's going to take work to try. It's always funny when Liam gets a new video game or a new toy, because if he can't figure it out within 5 minutes, you hear this, "Oh!" It takes work. It takes hard work to figure things out. It takes work, hard work, for us to figure out who we are within the body of Christ. It takes work, hard work, for us to live into and be the body of Christ. So, brothers and sisters, today and tomorrow and in the days to come, let us think about how we are that body. Who we are within that body. If you're a toe, great. If you're an eyelash, great. But think and pray about how you can be the best toe or eyelash or eyeball or what have you that you can be within the body of Christ. Brothers and sisters, let's be in anatomy together. Amen. At this time, we respond from the gifts that God has given us. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, from out of the many gifts that you have given us, we offer these gifts to you. Guide us in their use and lead us to be a kingdom people serving you and all that we can. In your name we pray. Amen. At this time, let me invite you to share any joys or concerns that you have with your brothers and sisters.
She's about 4 weeks old and was rushed to Ezra Hospital with a respiratory virus. I appreciate your prayers. Her name is Jane Elizabeth Curcio.
Jane Elizabeth? Ron, you're going to have to stop breaking my heart. Or this little girl is going to have to stop breaking my heart. So, certainly. Good, good. Any others? Then let us go before our Lord in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for all the ways you have been with us, through the cold, through the snow. We ask that you will be with, especially in these cold times, the homeless, those without shelter, and those who are exposed to the ravages of the weather. We ask, Lord, that you'll be with little Jane. Help her, Lord, to recover. Be with her parents, grandparents, and the entire family as they worry, as they struggle, and we thank you, Lord, for all the ways that you're with her. Bring her safely home to have a normal childhood. We thank you for all that you're doing with Lily, for keeping her safe and helping the doctors, nurses, and the family to figure out what's going on. Be with Mom and Grandma, Dad and Grandpa, as they worry about her. Lord, with all those in our community who are struggling, who have need of being lifted up, help us to remember them, to pray for them, to just check in with them. Help us to be the body you have called us to be. Watch over us. Watch over our sick and our shut-ins, for all present in this body and all who are not able to be here. We thank you, Lord. For the scouts of Troop 20 and PAC 20, we ask your special care on them as well, Lord. We thank you for their chance to worship with us, to gather with us, to help us to lead worship. Be with us, Lord. We ask all of this in your name, the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and your Holy Spirit. And we pray the prayer your Son taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and power and the glory forever. Amen. And now comes the nuts and bolts part of communion. Please remember, the outer ring is grape juice. The inner rings are wine. Outer, juice, inner, wine. Leaders? Also, and most importantly, This is not my table. This is not your table. This is the Lord's table. And if Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, your place is at it. And so come, for all things are now ready. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Supper which we are about to celebrate is a feast of remembrance, of communion, and of hope. We come in remembrance that our Lord Jesus Christ was sent of the Father into the world to assume our flesh and blood and to fulfill for us all obedience to the divine law, even to the bitter and shameful death of the cross. By his death, resurrection, and ascension, he established a new and eternal covenant of grace and reconciliation that we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken by him. We come to have communion with this same Christ, who has promised to be with us always, even to the ends of the world. In the breaking of the bread, he makes himself known to us as the true heavenly bread that strengthens us unto life eternal. In the cup of blessing, he comes to us as the vine, in whom we must abide if we are to bear fruit. We come in hope, believing that this bread and this cup are a pledge and a foretaste of the feast of love of which we shall partake when his kingdom is fully come, when with unveiled face we shall behold him, made like unto him in his glory. Since by his death, resurrection, and ascension, Christ has obtained for us the life-giving Spirit who unites us all in one body, so are we to receive this supper in true love, mindful of the communion of saints. May the Lord be with you. Let us lift up our hearts, and as we lift them up to the Lord, let us give thanks to the Lord our God, as it is right to give him our thanks and praise. Holy and right it is, and our joyful duty, to give thanks to you at all times and in all places, O Lord our Creator, almighty and everlasting God. You created heaven with all its hosts and the earth with all its plenty. You have given us life and being and preserve us by your providence. But you have shown us the fullness of your love in sending into the world your Son, Jesus Christ, the eternal Word made flesh for us and for our salvation. For the precious gift of this mighty Savior, who has reconciled us to you, we praise and bless you, O God. With your whole church on earth and with all the company of heaven, we worship and adore your glorious name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Most righteous God, we remember in this supper the perfect sacrifice offered once on the cross by our Lord Jesus Christ for the sin of the whole world. In the joy of his resurrection and in expectation of his coming again, we offer ourselves to you as holy and living sacrifices. And together we proclaim the mystery of the faith, that Christ has died, that Christ is risen, and that Christ will come again. Send your Holy Spirit upon us, we pray, that the bread which we break and the cup that we bless may be to us the communion of the body and blood of Christ. Grant that being joined together in him, we may attain to the unity of the faith and grow up in all things into Christ our Lord. And as this grain has been gathered from many fields into one loaf, and these grapes from many hills into one cup, grant, O Lord, that your whole church may soon be gathered from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. After he had blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." And in the same manner, after they had supped, he took the cup, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is the New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ, and the cup which we share is the communion of the blood of Christ. Brothers and sisters, come, for all things are now ready. body of Christ broken for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Please join me in our thanksgiving after communion in your bulletin. Brothers and sisters, since the Lord has now fed us at his table, let us praise God's holy name with heartfelt thanksgiving. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all your iniquity, who redeems your life from the pit. The Lord is merciful and gracious. He does not deal with us according to our sins. For as the heavens are high above the earth, as far as the east is from the west, as a father has compassion for his children, who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, and will also give us all things with him. Let us rise, if we're able, and sing together our final hymn, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. And now, brothers and sisters, go forth in peace. Go forth in the knowledge that wherever we are in God's wide world, whatever happens, be it good or ill, may we always remember that Jesus is Lord. Go in grace and peace to love and serve him. Amen.